Avodah Zarah, Perek Daled, Mishnah Tes, 4-9. Absolutely fascinating Mishnah. So many really important principles that come out of it. The first question the Mishnah wants to answer is, may a Jew work as an employee for an idolater in his wine-producing facility? Now, there are really two issues to consider here. They're both rabbinic in nature. The first is that while there's a Isser d'oraisa of getting hana, financial benefit, from Yain Nesach, and we're treating even Stam Yenam, well, you don't know what they are, as Yain Nesach. So any Gentile-owned wine would be under this restriction. The question is, can one work and make money as an employee doing ancillary tasks around the forbidden object? So he's not buying or selling or drinking the Yain Nesach, but he is an employee, you know, setting up cartons or bringing them to market or something like that. Can he get paid for that, working with it? And the answer in general is no. A person may not. A person may not get paid for trafficking in someone which is Asr Bahana, or, you know, working in it in general, that the aiding and abetting that process or trafficking in it is forbidden, rabbinically. The second question that needs to be answered is, according to our Tana, there's a restriction on making fruit that grew in Eretz Israel tame, all to itself. This is not lahalacha. As a matter of halacha, we say that there isn't a restriction on making Paris Eretz Israel tame per se. We don't do it. In fact, if it's readily edible food like you buy in the market, one can be metame, lachalchila, biyadayim, directly. It's not a problem. But our Mishnah holds that even fruit that's owned by a Gentile, like grapes in a winery that's owned by an idolater, if they're grapes from Eretz Israel, it's usur midrabbanan to make them tame. Okay, so that's the position of our Tana. And therefore, the question is, may one participate in the winery? So the Mishnah says as follows. Dorchin im ovid kochavim bagas. One is, in fact, yes, permitted to tread on the grapes to extract the wine, grape juice, with an idolater at his press. So we say with idolater here, we're going to be as an employee of the idolater. And we have to answer both these questions. The first question is, what about you're getting paid to work with someone which is Asr Bahana, because as soon as it's got a status of being Yain, it'll be Yain Nesach, forbidden to get Hana. So the answer is that our Tana here, Mishnah Tes, holds like the previous Mishnah's Tana, who said that the wine that comes out of the, or the grape juice that comes out of the grapes, doesn't become forbidden as Yain Nesach until it collects into the bore, into that cistern. So while it's on the gas, on the press, it's not yet considered to be wine which is restricted. It's mutter bahana, it's mutter even to drink, said our previous Mishnah, and therefore you're not getting employed to do work with someone which is asr bahana, because until it goes into the bor, the storage collection cistern, it's not asr bahana. That's what our Tana holds here. As far as the second issue of conveying tuma to Paris Eretz Yisrael, well, the Tana holds that's forbidden, mutter bahana. Here the case is, and it must be, that the wine already started getting pressed by the idolater before the Jew stood on them. So once you have juice being extracted from grapes, that juice is one of the Zayin Mashkin, one of the seven liquids which are machshir, which ready food to become tummy. And it's given, it's assumption of our Mishnah that the wine press will certainly be tummy if it belongs to an idolater, because every non-Jew is considered to be tummy like a Zav, so right away everything comes in contact, becomes tummy, and the wine press is no different. So we assume the wine press is tummy. As soon as juice comes out from the grapes, the first bit of juice that comes out is now machshir, the grapes, everything is getting wet to become tummy. And therefore, if it's been initially tread on by the non-Jew, the Jew stepping on it is not adding any further tumah. It already became tummy from the previous treading. But he would not be allowed to do the first step, if you will, the first treading step, if you will. Okay, so that's the first part of our Mishnah. Let me just clarify two things. First is, we are making a distinction between the juice that came out of the grapes immediately, which is, yes, yain in the context of being machshir, of being able to ready something to become tameh, but we're not calling it wine in the context of yain nesech until it flows into the bor, into that cistern down below. Now, as a matter of, this was Mishnah Rishona. Afterwards, the base of the opinions got switched around, and this Mishnah is exactly not correct, meaning I'll call it lahalacha to keep it simple for a second. We say that since we rule that it becomes yain nesach and restricted as soon as the juice flows away from the grape skins and is separate, so then even up on the press, a Jew who's stepping on the grapes and causing the Jews to come out is already doing work with Yain Nesach, and therefore he's getting paid for that, which would be forbidden. So it'd be Aser Midrabanan for the Jew to actually do the treading with the Gentile, the idolater's grapes on the press. That would be forbidden. Now, as far as conveying Tuma goes, so we actually hold that there is no Iser Durabun of conveying Tuma to Peres Eretz Yisrael. There is a separate restriction we'll discuss in just a moment about making Truma or potential Truma and the like, Truma Gadola and as well as Chal and the like, to become Tame. But when it comes to a Gentile who's owning land in Eretz Yisrael, his fruits cannot be required to take Truma, and therefore it's just Peres Eretz Yisrael. And we paskin lahalacha, there is no restriction on making Peres Eretz Yisrael Tame, even be a dime if it's not subject to further tithing requirements. So therefore, that would be the din. I'll call it lahalacha. Now, the next part of the Mishnah says, what happens if the person who's owning and operating this winery is not an idolater, but rather a Jew? But this Jew is doing it betumah, meaning his press is also tameh, and he doesn't care. So the Mishnah's perspective, again, our Tana holds to convey tumah to Peres Eretz Yisrael is forbidden, and this Jew is just ignoring that, he's flouting that halacha, and he is doing an avera. Okay, now the truth is that once the Jew is owning the grapes, so then the grapes are subject to certain tithes, truma, and so on. So there's a iser to make what's called tevel, untied produce, tame, because it will mean ultimately that when the Kohen would get his truma later on, it won't be edible to him because it'll be tame already. Okay, it's actually a machlokas in the Rishonim if to make tevel tame is an iser deraisa derabanan. Really, a halacha la maisa, we're lenient and we allow tevel to become tame indirectly, but not directly be a dime, but indirectly you could cause it to become tame. In any case, in our Mishnah here, the question is, can you participate with the Jew who's allowing his wine to become tame, and you're therefore causing the Peres Eretz Yisrael to become tame? So we have to just clarify in our minds, there's two separate things, which I think people are not always clear on. One is called the Isser D'Orais of Lifnei Iver Lositen Michshol. You can't put a stumbling block in front of the blind, which is an Isser D'Orais. And then there's an Isser D'Rabbanan called Misayeya L'Devar Avera, to aid someone in doing a transgression, which is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. So what are the difference in the two things? So the basic classic example is, you know, if the forbidden thing is on one side of the river and the person who wants to eat the cheeseburgers on the other side. So you're in the middle. If you bring the cheeseburger to him, he couldn't have gotten it without you. So you bring the cheeseburger to him to eat, you are now over Lifnei Iver, because without you, he couldn't have done the Avera. So you've facilitated him doing the Avera. Without you, he couldn't have done it, and now it would be Lifnei Iver Adoraisa. If he could have done it without you, he's already on the same side of the river as the cheeseburger. But he says, do me a favor, can you just hand that to me? And you do hand it to him. Well, if you would have said, no, I'm not going to do that, he just got it himself. But since you made it like you participated, you made it easier for him, you aided him in doing his avera, that's an Isser D'Rabbanan of Misiyei L'Devar Avera. Now, the D'Rabbanan of Misiyei L'Devar Avera is a restriction which applies only during the act that's forbidden itself. But before the act is if you're not helping the act to happen, like earlier on, this way earlier stage, or once the action that's forbidden is totally completed and there's a new action happening with that forbidden object, so the restrictions of Misael Devar Vera no longer apply. Okay, that's important. In the context of our Mishnah, therefore, we're going to say, can a Jew participate in the winemaking process with another Jew if the owner is the employer or the owner is flouted in halachas and conveying tumah to this wine? So can a well-meaning Jew participate? Says the Mishnah, Yisrael, if you have a Jew, shehu osa, meaning he's producing his wine, but tumah, in a state of tumah, meaning his press is tameh, so he's doing the avera. And he asks you, can I hire you to participate with me in making this wine? Says the Mishnah, lo dorchin, another Jew may not participate in the treading of these grapes on the press, because even if they already were tummy, but so what? You're participating in the manufacture of the squeezing, the pressing of the wine out of the grapes, and that's the forbidden act. So you're being a misael devar avera. That'd be forbidden. Again, even if he could have done it without you, even if it was tummy already. But that whole action, the whole process of the squeezing of the grapes is forbidden. Therefore, the whole action is restricted under the Isser Derabbanan of Misayela Devar Aveira. Says the Mishnah further, V'lo Botrin Imo, you can't even do the picking of the grapes and bring them to the press, because essentially the same thing. It's like handing him the cheeseburger. You're setting up the Aveira to happen on a silver platter by bringing the grapes onto the press where they're going to be pressed and become tummy. So you can't do that. You're facilitating, you're aiding an Isser. Again, it's a Derabbanan, but it's part of the act of the pressing, and therefore it's an Isser Derabbanan, a Misayela Devar Aveira. You cannot do it. However, aval, what you can do, says the Mishnah, it's mutter, is to be molichin imo chavios legas. You could, imo doesn't necessarily mean with him, it means it could be before his, on his behalf. You can bring chaviot. Chavios are like barrels that are storing the wine, the grape juice. They're empty. You can bring them to the gas, to the press, where they'll get filled up with the wine. And also, umevin imo min hagas. And you also could transport the filled up barrels of wine away from the press now to market or storage, wherever the store is. The point is, we're clarifying here that while the pressing of the grapes and even the setting up the press by collecting the grapes is forbidden, because that's all considered one act and you're being messiah in that act, once the act is totally done, to do something that's essentially unrelated, like bringing empty barrels or bringing barrels full of this wine, which is now tummy, you're no longer, the deed is done, and you're no longer facilitating the deed directly, and therefore the din derabbanan of Misayela Devar Aveira doesn't apply. One could get hired to move, you know, this forbidden, this wine which became tummy. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah really is very similar to this second case, which is we're just sort of analogizing the halachas as they apply in a bakery as opposed to a winery. So when it comes to a bakery, what are they doing? They're taking flour, mixing it with water, and they're making bread. Now, even if the flour is fully tithed, still, there's a new restriction, because when you mix flour and water together, that kicks in a new obligation of hafrashas chala, the obligation to separate a portion for the kohen. The chala has the same status as truma, essentially, and one may not make chala tameh. So if we know that the baker is using utensils which are tameh, for you to essentially knead the dough or to arrange the loaves with him, you're essentially participating in the act that's forbidden of conveying tumah to the chala, and therefore you may not do it. That's what the Mishnah says here. If you have a nachtom, a baker, shehu osa betumah, that he is producing his bread in a state of tumah, like in a tumah factory with a, you know, tumah utensils and the like, lo lashen v'lo orchen imo, you can't participate with the kneading of the dough. That's when you mix the water with the flour together and sort of, you know, do gibble, you know, knead it with your hands, K-N-E-A-D, knead. And you also can't orchen, orech is like shulchan orech, shulchan aruch is like to arrange, like to think of it as like braiding the challahs, that you can't do. Of a molichen imo pas the palter, what you could do is once that's all done, you could bring these loaves to the palter. The palter is the one, he's essentially, I'll translate Tosos for a second here, he essentially is the one who buys from all the different bakers their breads, and he then sells them to the marketplace. Okay, so he's either like a salesperson, the wholesaler, or a distributor, whatever it is. Okay, so bringing the baked breads, now that they're tummy, but you could bring them, there's no Isser Derabbanan now, since the bread is not Asr Bahana, you know, whatever, the challah has been separated elsewhere, whatever it is, so you can, in fact, bring being responsible for transporting these tummy loaves to the market. That's going to be yes, all right, because, of course, no restriction to eating tummy loaves, etc. Okay? Worth pointing out here, I just want to see Rashi's sheet, only because if you're learning with the daf, whatever the story is, Rashi learns differently. Rashi learns that the palter actually has the baking of the dough. So in this, he's buying these like loaves that are dough, and he does the baking himself. So the big nafkamin would be a question. May one, the Mishnah says you can't knead and arrange the loaves. Can you bake the loaves in the bakery? So according to Rashi, the answer is yes, you could, because baking loaves is like a different action separate from the making a tummy when you were doing the kneading and the arranging. Whereas Tosos would hold no, you can't. The making of the breads, including kneading and arranging and baking, is like one action. Once they're baked and done, then from then on you could be involved in like the transportation and sale of these loaves of bread.